of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. The Battle of Omdurman has been fought and won, and the 21st Lancers have written a glorious page of British history. Winston Churchill, war correspondent of the Morning Post and supernumerary lieutenant, has been there to fight and to write. Back home again with his mother, he has a stirring tale to tell.
Brown, strong, and every inch a man.
Thanks, Mother. Beautiful, self-possessed, and every inch a lovely lady.
Thank you. There's nobody quite like you, Winston. You have a gift for phraseology which makes everyone you speak to feel very much alive. It makes me so proud.
Oh, yes, I'm very clever, you know.
And clever enough to keep out of the way of attractive and eligible young ladies, it seems.
Oh, that? Oh, I'll leave that to Brother Jack. He likes his apartment in town and dances and bright gatherings. I've no time for that. I've work to do. Good Lord, here I am back from Africa, full of thoughts and ideas and events.
You've changed. So much more assurance.
Have I really changed very much?
Inwardly, yes. You've become strong and vital. I've been a little worried about you. But I shouldn't have wasted a moment in worry, knowing you.
I didn't get a scratch, even though I was in the thick of it. Oh, it was great. Omdurman, magnificent.
Omdurman. Tell me about it, Winston.
There's not so much to tell, really. We crossed the left bank of the Nile on August the 15th. Just imagine the scene as I can picture it. From here, we journeyed forward, all clad in brilliant array. Flashing bayonets, a brilliant colour, discipline, order. The British Army going into action. And at 4:30 on the morning of September the 2nd, the bugles began to sound all over the camp. The cavalry trumpets and the drums and fifes of the British division joined the chorus, and we awoke amid a confusion of merry or defiant notes.
Winston. I could almost imagine I was there myself and could hear all those things.
Then the cavalry mounted their horses. The infantry stood to their arms and the gunners went to their batteries. The Battle of Omdurman was beginning. Before us on that vast plain, there came a great horde of dervishes, 50,000 of them, with a khalifa at their head. On they came like a gigantic wave, in perfect array, like an army of crusaders, but yelling and screaming with frenzy. Our men stood firm as rocks. And then came the order.
Right wheel, into line!
Going into action.
Yes, Mother. The 21st Lancers were off on their first attack. I can't tell you much about what followed. I can only say what happened to me.
But that's what I want to hear.
Well, the troop I commanded was second from the right. Wormald was alongside me. I can remember that much. The dervishes were firing madly in a film of light blue smoke. Their bullets struck the hard gravel into the air, and the troopers, to shield their faces from the steel dust, bowed their helmets forward like the cuirassiers at Waterloo. And then...
21st Lancers! Charge!
The whole scene seemed to flicker. I have an impression of brown-clad lancers mixed up in a surging mob and a mass of screaming, yelling dervishes all round me. It was cut and thrust, bullets flying everywhere, the most indescribable din and confusion. And suddenly, for the first time, I experienced fear. I felt myself absolutely alone. And yet, there were men on every side, friend and foe, fighting like demons. And I suppose I must have been doing the same.
I was praying for you, Winston.
That must have done the trick, Mother. Out of 310 officers and men, we lost in that one charge 5 officers and 65 men. Nearly a quarter of our strength. But we won the day, thanks to Hector MacDonald.
General MacDonald? Oh, yes, I read about him. He must have been wonderful.
Nothing that my ancestor, the Duke of Marlborough, did was more brilliant than the tactics of MacDonald on that day. He deserves a knighthood, and he'll probably get it. And Kitchener. Oh, I must agree that he was marvelous. When the Lancers set off on their long march back to Cairo, Sir Herbert paid them the unusual compliment of seeing them off. It was a stirring moment. The battle done, and Kitchener of Khartoum taking the salute, paying homage to some very brave men. Oh, well, enough for the moment. I'm going to turn in and get hours and hours and hours of much-needed sleep.
Well, Mother, yesterday I was a soldier and a war correspondent. Today I just haven't any vocation. I'm free and fancy-free. I'm at a loose end. That means I crave for action.
Another cup of tea?
Morning, afternoon or night, in crisis or in peace, have a cup of tea. It's a national slogan. It's more than an invitation to imbibe. It's almost rhetoric. Yes, I'll have the third breakfast cup of tea, if you'll pour it.
Now, you light a cigar, or whatever you prefer, and we'll talk over your future. Not that I can help much.
Not that you can help much. Why, I've discovered now how I received that appointment in the Sudan force, despite Kitchener's disapproval of me.
I thought you knew already. Wasn't it the Prime Minister's telegram that was responsible?
No, it was my mother's diplomacy. You spoke to Sir Evelyn Wood and saw to it that the War Office overruled Kitchener.
Oh, discovered. I must hide my discomfiture and embarrassment. But as a matter of fact, Sir Evelyn brought the subject up himself. All I did was to...
Prod him a little, eh? Well, Mother, it worked. And I don't have to tell you how much I appreciate what you did for me. Especially as you'd rather have kept me at home.
I wouldn't have been very sensible to have kept an adventurous young man home against his will. But you do need to stay this time, don't you?
For what?
Well, I thought naturally that you'd go into politics.
And leave the army?
Would that disturb you very much, Winston?
Well, frankly, Mother, I'd rather stick to the army. But I don't think I can.
Why not?
Well, Mother, the horrible matter of finances.
Oh.
We're not very well off, are we?
When your father died, Winston, he left nothing except this property, which was entailed.
But I thought there were some South African gold mining shares. I hear they're worth a fortune these days.
Yes, but we had to sell them to settle all the debts. If we had them today, we'd be well off, as it is. Well, I have quite enough to live on, but nothing to spare.
That settles it, then. I leave the army. If I go on soldiering, the only profession I've ever been taught, I'll soon find myself heavily in debt.
I wish I could help you, darling.
You've done quite enough, Mother. Now it's up to me to look out for myself.
Have you any plans?
Well, I'm going back to India first. I want to win the polo tournament. And after that, I'll send in my papers. In the meantime, I'll go on with my book about the Sudan campaign and look out for a chance of entering Parliament.
You're writing another book?
Yes, The River War. Perhaps that may be the means of setting me on my own feet financially. And so, Mother, exit Winston Churchill of the Hussars. Enter Winston Churchill, the man of letters. That ought to create a stir. It will if I can help it.
Churchill, Fitzroy Stewart tells me you're anxious to enter politics.
Yes, Mr. Middleton, I am. Do you think you could find a seat for me?
I'm certain we can. You're just the type of candidate we want. Besides, the name of Churchill means a great deal. Your father, you know, was a very well-known figure in the House.
Yes, I know.
Are you prepared to fight a hard battle?
I don't mind how much work I do.
Let me make myself perfectly clear, Mr. Churchill. Are you financially prepared for a fight? Can you pay your own personal expenses?
I think so.
And how much a year can you afford to give to the constituency?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I'm willing to pay my own expenses, provided they're not too high. But I could do no more than that, Mr. Middleton.
Oh. Well, as party manager, I feel it my duty to tell you that the best and safest constituencies always like to have the largest contributions from their members. I could name several cases where as much as £1,000 a year is paid by the member in subscriptions and charities in return for the honour of holding the seat. Of course, risky seats can't afford to be so particular, and forlorn hopes are very cheap. However, since I knew your father very well, I'll do all I can for you, Mr. Churchill.
Thank you.
Your experience at the war should be very helpful, too. We find that such qualifications are always popular with the Tory working men. Oh, we'll find something for you, never fear.
What does that sign mean, speakers wanted?
Oh, can you speak? Address a meeting, I mean.
Well, I've never tried, but I've always wanted to.
Good, now's your chance. I'll book you for, let me see, In 10 days' time, there's an open-air gathering of the Primrose League at Bath. Could you manage that?
I think so.
Splendid. Bath, then, in 10 days' time. You're made an effort, eh? Well, well, we've all got to make a start sometime. And who knows? The time may come when your speeches are regarded as national events.
The young writer, soldier, adventurer is now on the threshold of the great adventure. Politics and world affairs on the footsteps to a ladder to fame, to the peak of his ambitions as imperial leader.